Hey, this is Jeremy Roenick, and guess what? You guys are listening to the Jim Bob Show.
Hey, this is Wayne Larrabee, and you're listening to Roar on WGN.
Hey, this is Jim McMahon, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
I had to pop a beer for this one.
Atta boy.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Brian Urlacher, and you're listening to the Jim Bob Show.
That's awesome. Oh,
and
that's
then,
it.
How about one? This is Brian Urlacher. I'm not a bitch.
No.
That's about, you love that one, huh?
Half the coaches in the league. The Mondays were the worst. And that's when you really got tested, when you came off a tough loss. You got into the office on Monday. You found out two more players were hurt. You didn't realize. The sky's always fallen in the NFL on Mondays.
Yeah, they're 40-1, which is shorter than I thought. You know, it.
Why aren't they 100-1?
Yeah, you know? I know.
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio and on great stations all around the country. It's the Jim Bob Show. Game day edition, and Jim Bob on the line, one of the greatest Bears of all time, Hall of Famer, beloved player, and one of the toughest defensive players maybe in NFL history. I'm not sure.
Well, and the guy will put 50 miles in each week on an e-bike.
No, he won't. We know
that. Whoa. Hold on now. Those are fighting words, Jim Bob. No e-bike.
I'll tell you what. No e-bike, but hey, guess what? If you're on an e-bike out there and putting in 50 miles, power to you, but hey, you're still riding your bike every day and putting in the miles?
Just the Peloton now. I've kind of got away from the bike, started doing the Peloton. So I do that about 6 days a week. It's a little bit easier time-wise. I don't have to go on the bike for 2 hours. I can get on the Peloton for an hour and be good to go.
You know, I told you the story where it was about a year ago, and I was looking at Amy, my fiance, and I go, hey, I'm feeling a little chubby, a little fat. Oh, you're not chubby or fat. What shows up the next day? A Peloton.
There you go.
That thing
is addicting.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, it's gotten to the point where, you know, we talk about just like Cher and Elvis, and it's just Brian now. Brian Urlacher. Everybody get it. And so, hey, so you just got off the golf course. I tell you, I appreciate you jumping on here, but hey, I want to talk about your son at Notre Dame. I'll tell you, I've been watching him, and we talked about it. I love his feet, and I love he attacks everything like he's going downhill. I am super excited, and you got to be too stoked to watch him. Talk about it.
Yeah, I was super proud of him. You know, just first of all, to get into Notre Dame is pretty damn awesome, if you ask me. It's a very prestigious school academically. Football-wise, they're always good, you know. But, man, you know, so he's a freshman. We weren't sure he'd play much this year at all. You just don't know what to expect. He's young. Got a great player in front of him in Xavier Watts. He's an All-American. He's a badass. Guy makes a ton of plays. Great guy for Kennedy to learn from. But, yeah, he got in the second half against Purdue. They were up 49-0 at halftime, so he got to go in the second half and played like 30 snaps. Made some plays. And like you said, he just, man, when he sees something, he goes. And there's no doubt he can run. He likes contact. He doesn't shy away from it. So, yeah, just, you know, get some more time in there. And he'll get, I think the more reps he gets, the better he'll get. But we're super proud of him. He's done well. He enjoys it. He says all the right things publicly, which we like. But, yeah, he just been fun watching him.
Yeah, I bet. It was fun for me to watch him as he got in that game, and he had, you know, three or four really good plays. I go, man, who's, you know, yeah. I mean, it's like, who's that kid? If they didn't know, well, you looked it up on the program. Hey, well, it's Urlacher's kid.
Well, you know what was cool is that Purdue had their first team offense in the game still. They're down by 50 points, and they still had the first team in. So he was playing against good competition, so I was happy about that. And then last week against Louisville, he recovered a fumble on the punt team. They snapped it over the punter's head, and he almost scored a touchdown. When he's getting in, he's making plays, which you need to do if you're not going to play.
Where do you think he's going to end up? Is he going to be a free or strong?
You know, I have no idea. You saw his feet. He's got really good feet. He's fast. I think they're pretty much interchangeable these days, right? He's got good coverage skills, and instinctively, he sees where the holes are opening up, so he knows where to fill for if he's a strong safety. So I don't think it matters, honestly. I don't think he's big enough for a linebacker. He's only 6 feet, about 200 pounds, so maybe he'll stay at safety.
Yeah. No, he certainly was. It was, like I said, it was a lot of fun, and I'm sure you're going to get back and get to watch a couple of the games and so forth. It'll be a lot of fun. And hopefully, you know, Notre Dame wins out and gets into that playoff hunt. What do you think about that? And how do you think about how it's lining up this year? And any surprises on your thought process?
Well, besides the Northern Illinois game, losing that game was not on the menu. But it happens. You know, it slipped up early. Northern NIU played great, coming there and beating Notre Dame at their stadium. We were at that game. It was not fun. Anyway, but yeah, if they went out, I don't see how you can keep them out of the playoffs. You know, they'll be in that top 12. He's got to get past Georgia Tech in a couple of weeks, and they go to SC last game of the year. We'll be at both of those games. But there's obviously games in the middle, but they should be pretty big favorites in all those games. But, yeah, they should. If they went out, I don't see how they keep them out of the playoff there.
Yeah, pretty good shootout last week when we watched to see what this new Alabama team looks like against Kirby Smart. But, boy, I tell you what, there for a while, man, it looked like it was going to get way out of hand. And it did get out of hand, and power to Georgia coming back on that one. Boy, yeah, that was something, man.
Those teams are too good. They may get down for a minute. They may have a couple bad places. There's so many good athletes and good players, and they're so well coached. It's just not going to be like that for those two teams. No one's going to beat them handily. Like I said, they got ugly early, but Georgia's too good. That quarterback can throw the football. He's got a cannon.
Yeah, he does. Hey, turning our attention to the NFL. We love college football, and which is becoming a lot like the NFL with this unlimited.
They're getting paid like it, right?
They're getting paid. The NIL and the perpetual free agency with this portal. I mean, you don't like your team, you leave it semester.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, it's, I don't even know how these guys coach it. But, you know, what do you think about this year's Bears and what you're seeing? I mean, to start it off, I'll be the guinea pig here. I thought the offensive line was playing horrible, and they made some changes. But, man, I just am so disappointed in the offensive line play in the first few weeks here.
You know, I haven't watched him close enough to know about the line play. Everyone's worried about Caleb. I think he's going to be fine. You know, you see some things in there in him that why he was so good in college. If they run the ball, it solves a ton of issues, especially with the offensive line, right? I mean, you run the ball, you take them, you get the play-action game in there, you can do a ton of different things. And when they've run like they did last week, they're going to be pretty successful. Their defense is great. You know, they play good every week. They're going to be in every game because of those guys. And if the quarterback plays like he did last week and they run the ball, they're going to have a chance to win a bunch of games. I'm optimistic, personally. I think they've exceeded expectations so far. They've been in every game's been a one-score game. So they're right there.
Like you said, Brian, as far as that defense really is going to keep them in games, and you look at glimmers of hope, you know, certainly maybe the results isn't exactly what the Bears would want, but you're seeing some of these plays work, and maybe Caleb's missing the ball a little bit, or maybe he's overthrowing the people, but the play in itself is actually successful.
Yeah, I mean, and quarterbacks miss those roles. It's not just Caleb. You know, I can't stand it when the announcers go, oh, that was a rookie mistake, a rookie delay of game. Well, so when a vet does it, what do you call it then? You know, it drives me crazy when they blame it on a rookie mistake. All quarterbacks, all players make mistakes. I don't care what level you're at. If you're a rookie or a 13th-year player, you make mistakes. And that's just the way it goes. But, yeah, you know, they're going to miss those throws. That's just, you know, the other team gets paid, too. I don't know if you guys know that. But both teams get paid. So they're trying to do their jobs as well. Like I said, I'm optimistic about where they're at. Eberflus, they got a bunch of good players on that defense. Just keep doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree. I think the defense is really solid. You know, I watched them in preseason, and then I went up and watched practice a couple times. And so I ended up getting a suite at Soldier Field because I was so optimistic about what I saw. And then I really saw a lot in Caleb and in camp, and they were really on him, man. I mean, they were basically evaluating every time he threw the ball. I mean, you could hear him. They're going up there and giving him instructions.
Who's they, the fans?
No, the coaching staff. But the coaching staff. I mean, they were very watching him very closely. You know, I was talking about the Vikings. The Vikings are 4-0, and everybody talking about Sam Darnold coming back. I think a lot of that has to do with Kevin O'Donnell. I think Kevin O'Donnell, in my opinion, is in the lead for Coach of the Year in the NFL, certainly. Mm-hmm, but you know, I think he's done a good job being the Sam Darnold whisperer there, because Darnold was a guy who came into the league, coming from USC, and same thing with Caleb. You know, USC, you always got tremendous athletes, you know, out there on the edge. And you can throw that 50-50 ball. And it's not 50-50 because, hey, I'm playing Fresno State. I'm 6'4". I got a 42-inch vertical. It's more like 80-20. And, you know, it takes a while for those guys to get away from those habits of throwing those 50-50 balls in college. And soon they realize, wow, these defensive backs in the NFL are good. They're good.
Yeah. Sam has never been terrible to me. I mean, New York, like you said, look who's around him. You know, you got to look at the whole team as well. It's easy to blame the quarterbacks. But you got to look at what's around him as well. I'm not sure how much he had when he was in New York. And he kind of bounced around the last couple of years. But when he gets in, the guy produces, you know, especially as a back in the backup role, wherever he was at when he got in games, he played pretty well. And then this year he got a chance to start. and he is taking full advantage of it.
Oh,
I'll tell you that much. They and their defense is playing great as well. You know, you look at what Flores has done there with that defense. They're getting after people, but they're scoring a ton of points. They've been fun to watch. They got the best receiver in the NFL, Jefferson.
Yeah.
That definitely helps.
Yeah, it sure does. And what do you think about, you know, we've got the 2-4-0 teams and the Chiefs haven't looked really crisp, but Mahomes again, they just win. You know,
who cares? They win, man. I could give a crap what they look. I mean, I've never been involved in an ugly win. I've had some ugly losses, but anytime you win, it's pretty. I don't give a crap what anyone's. I don't care if it's 3-2, 6-5. We won. I don't care what the stats say, you know, and or 48-47. A win's a win. I don't care. And as a player, you got to learn from those games. But man, they find a way to win. Andy Reid's the man. Coach Spagnuolo's doing a great job on defense as usual.
Yeah.
And Mahomes makes plays when he has to.
You know, Spag's the best, you know, assistant coach in the NFL, in my opinion. I mean, but after the head coaches, he's the best. Hey, what do you think about the Aaron Rodgers situation in New York? Billy Moss, who's a friend of mine, you know Billy.
Yeah, I know Billy Moss.
And so, Billy, just, we had him on the show here in the beginning of the season, and he was raving about these Jets. He goes, oh, they're going to be good. They're going to be good. Well, I'm having a hard time right into it when Denver goes into New York and Bo Nix
and beats them up
and beats them. What's your thoughts on that situation?
It's one game, you know, that the weather probably played a factor in it. No excuse they will have to play in it, but it's one game. The sky's not falling yet, you know, still one game. They're 2-2. The leaders in that division are 3-1 with Buffalo, so I wouldn't be too worried. You know, still Aaron Rodgers, still one of the best quarterbacks of all time, so I give him some time. I think he'll be okay. I don't know what the situation is with the quarterback and the head coach. I don't pay close enough attention to it, but I'm sure with everything, every little thing that gets said there is probably blown out of proportion because they're in New York.
Yeah. Is there anybody that you're looking at on the NFC side and then the AFC side that you think is going to emerge and people are going to go, hey, I remember Urlacher's called that?
I don't know about emerging, but the Bucs are pretty damn good.
Yeah, I tell you what, Baker Mayfield, I watched him in college, you know, when he was at OU, I watched him several times there. And so I got to like him and I like his grit, but we'll see what happens. You know, again, Carolina with Andy Dalton coming to town and, you know, they're giving up 4.5 to the Bears. There's a lot of people saying that Andy Dalton has breathed life back into the Panthers. I don't know if I can buy that.
Yeah, I mean, the two games he started, they looked better, right? I mean, the first game he started, they went up there and beat somebody on the road, I feel like. And then last week they competed. You know, I just think they're scoring more points than they were with the other kid in there. Maybe give them a little bit of hope. But I'm picking the Bears this week. I think their defense is too good. You know, they're playing at Soldier Field. Their defense is too good. They'll probably score some points on offense. But, yeah, I do like Andy Dalton, man. I like what he's done so far.
And one of the last things, it shows that it is a Bears town, and things can go dormant, right? They can hibernate a little bit when the Bears haven't been successful. As a guy who has played in a Super Bowl for this team and seen those fans come alive, and you still look at all of that support and worship for that 85 Bears team. You know, as the Bears get, how many more wins do you think, Brian, before, because it's starting to happen, right? The groundswell, people are starting to believe in this team a little bit. It's only been a couple wins, but for a fan base that's been starved, you know, they can feel it.
I mean, and it doesn't take much, right? I mean, the fans are always going to be there. That's a luxury the Bears organization's always has, no matter how good or bad they play. But I think they're there. You know, I don't think the wins aren't going to be that big of a deal now. I mean, they're going to get more wins, obviously, I feel like.
Yeah.
But the fans are always going to be there. You know, you as a player, I felt that even when we stunk, the fans were always there behind us. So I think that the players definitely feel that now as well. And as good as they're playing or capable of playing, I think that's just going to keep getting better.
You know, when I signed on with Soldier Field and we got the suite, I was all excited and I was prognosticating. I go, hey, Caleb Williams, rookie of the year, book it. Now I'm thinking that they've already awarded it to Jaden Daniels. Your thoughts on that one?
I'm with you. Yeah, I think the guy in the Redskins is doing pretty damn good.
Yeah.
He's good.
I was thinking about you. I knew we were going to visit, but I was thinking about these quarterbacks, you know, Lamar Jackson and Jaden Daniels. And I mean, these guys, you know, they changed the game. You know, when you had to go against these guys, and I was going to ask you this, from a position, linebacker position, who you were, I mean, you never shied away from any action whatsoever. Who in the NFL that you think models after yourself today? That's one of the parts of the question. And then, hey, playing against these type of quarterbacks, you don't see guys like you much anymore. I mean, you could run. That's one of the things. You could run for your size. But, you know, these linebackers, everybody's downsizing. Everybody's 220, 225. Yeah. And you know, not as tall, but can run. And so I don't see a Brian Urlacher in the league. I was trying to think about who in the league reminds me of you.
Yeah, I mean, I was 6'4", 255. If you look at body type-wise, I think Fred Warner there in San Fran is probably the closest to my – I mean, he's, what, 6'3", 6'4", 240?
Yeah.
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
And he can run. That dude is good.
Yeah.
He gets to the football in a hurry. So I guess if I had to pick somebody – I would be happily compared to that man right there because yeah. he makes plays.
Yeah, he plays. And then, so, you know, when you had to go against somebody like a Jaden Daniels, I mean, and Lamar Jackson, first of all, how'd you guys set for that game, and what were your thoughts going into that? Because you knew you were going to be running your ass all over the field.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you heard of a guy named Michael Vick. You ever heard of him?
Yeah.
he was pretty good, too, back in the day. He was pretty fast, and he was the first guy that really – I mean, running quarterback-wise, he was the dude. I mean, we had to prepare for him. They're going to make plays. And the game's different now because they cater it more to the running game with the quarterback, which they didn't do back then. But, man, you got to keep them in the pocket as much as you can. They're going to make plays. That's just all there is to it. But don't give them the huge plays, I guess. You know, when they do run, hit them. If they don't slide, you got to hit them.
Speaking of Michael Vick, I can tell you this. I was up in Green Bay, and it was a playoff game, and it started to snow. And it was about 28 degrees, 29 degrees, and it felt like a warm snow. You know, and I believe that or not, up in Green Bay, warm snow. And I look at my buddy and go, oh, we're going to get our asses beat. And he goes, why? I go, Michael Vick's going to come out here, and he's gonna, because it's going to be warm. And the first time he sees snow and played in it, he's going to kick our ass. And he did.
He did.
He does it.
He was so good, man. Michael Vick was different. He could throw the ball on a rope 70 yards in the air with a flick of his wrist. I mean, it was amazing watching him throw the football. Obviously running, he was different. But, man, he's one of my favorite guys ever. I just love watching him play. He was fun.
Yeah. Hey, I know you're going to get back and watch some games at Notre Dame, and we certainly would like to have you at the El Bandito Yankee Wanna Parlay Suite at Soldier Field. So you're always our guest. Just let us know when you're going to come back, and we're gonna give you the red carpet treatment. So
I appreciate that.
Yeah, buddy. Anytime, man. And how's that golf game, by the way? What did you shoot today? Was it good? Or
Today I shot 74. I didn't play great. I had a bad, had a ball out of bounds on the second hole on my third shot. Not good on a par five. So I made double there, but then I played okay on the way in. I think I shot, I had even on the back and three or four over on the front. So not great, but not bad. Won money, so that's good.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I shot 74 the other day after eight.
Well, no, but think about this. So, Brian.
I play every day.
You're like, oh, yeah, I guess I just did okay. Because remember when Jim Bob asked you if you ever played pickleball, you said no. But if I did play, I'd be in the Hall of Fame.
That's exactly right, man. Hey, buddy, I'm looking forward to seeing when you get back into town. We'll have some fun together. And by the way, we're going to take care of your brother on that. On Jelly Roll. So we'll keep that.
So his daughter, she's 4. She's the biggest Jelly Roll fan of all time. So she is going to love it. Scarlett's going to be so happy.
Yeah, we're going to be working on that, for sure. And then, hey, let you go, buddy. And we'll catch up with you in a few weeks, man. And we'll be talking.
Later, guys.